thinking to myself, God, I am not smart enough to be with all these intellectuals. My grammar's awful at times. I don't look right. I don't always sound right. But God says, listen, I knew that when I called you. I already knew your deficiencies, but I already went ahead of you to make a way out of no way. What I'm trying to tell you, Jessica, don't look at your deficiencies. You look at your God. And when you understand that your God is strong and mighty, whatever he has for you, the devil in hell can't take it from you.
Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Chapter 6, verse 11, says, then Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Likewise, he took of the fish and gave as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he also said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Again, John chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Just our subject this morning, he is more than enough. And this morning, I just want to remind you that the God that you serve, he is more than enough. So Jack Taylor, in his book called God's Miraculous Plan of Economy, Jack penned these words. He said, every miracle began on the platform of a problem. So don't miss this morning, that every miracle that we see in the Bible began on a platform of a problem. He says, I dare you to find one miracle that did not begin with a problem. And if we could ever see, we would have a different attitude when we face our problems. That if we can ever understand that the miracle takes place on a platform of problems, it would change our perspectives. Because problems of those situations engineered of God to bring us face to face with our deficiencies. And I don't know about you this morning, I'm deficient. And I am deficient in a lot of areas. But then God brings me face to face with my deficiencies. I was telling my brother Lorenzo this morning, I said, one thing about me, I'm always doing what I call critical analysis of myself. So I was listening to the podcast. We're getting ready to launch that. I said, oh, my God, I mispronounced that word. Oh, my God, that's the second word. Oh, my God, there's a third. Okay, 3 out of 30 minutes. But what I was doing was understanding where I am deficient or where I need to slow down. And God, at times in our life, is asking us to realize where we are deficient and where we have blind spots. In those areas where we are deficient, that we have blind spots, he wants to show us his sufficiency. And his sufficiency is our alternative. So how many problems are you facing? Thank God for the problems. Because every problem that you are facing this morning, God is staging your comeback. And he is giving you a platform to see a miracle. And we're always asking God for miracles in our lives. But if you don't have a platform of a problem, you would never see a miracle. So Jack says this, you have to learn how to love your problems. Whoa, Jack, that is counterintuitive to what we've been taught. We've been taught to hate our problems. But Jack is telling us to love your problems because you have a problem solving God, that every problem is an opportunity to trust the Lord, to watch him step into your circumstance for his glory. So if you have a problem, good this morning. I'm glad you have a problem. Because your problem is God's opportunity to show out. So my question this morning is, what problem are you facing? And how many problems are you facing? And whatever problems you're facing and how many problems you are facing, when you leave today, thank God for your problem. Thank God for your tough situation. Because as you're thanking him, he is already performing a miracle in your life, and the miracle starts on the inside. Because if it doesn't start on the inside, how can it manifest on the outside? Here's what I mean by the inside. You have to be thankful. Thinking folks are thankful folks. That when you think about God, that you can thank God. So start thinking about your problems, but don't start there or stop there. Start thanking God for every problem. So if there's a lack, thank you, God. If he left you, thank you, God. If you have problems in your school, thank you, God. If there's problems in your family, thank you, God. If somebody's sick, thank you, God. Why? Because every time that you are thanking the Lord, you are reminding the Lord that you are grateful that he sees every need, he knows every need, and when he shows up, chances are he will show up with a miracle. And let me say this, the miracle is not always $1 million. The miracle may be more joy in your heart. The miracle may be a change of perspective. We have to stop thinking in terms of money and start thinking in terms of God's economy. Because in God's economy, it's more than money. So in our text, we have a problem. Global, we have a problem. Because when you look at the text, you will find out that Jesus is ministering to his people. And he goes across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd is following him. And they are following him because they see the signs. We don't follow Jesus because of miracles. We follow Jesus because of who he is. He is the miracle worker. So be careful that you don't pursue God for what you can get from him. You pursue God because of who he is. He is strong and mighty. He is the Lord of the hosts. Thank God that I pursue him because of who he is. But in our text, the people are pursuing him because they see miracles. He's healing the sick. He's opening up blinded eyes, and they are pursuing him. So Jesus goes to the mountain, and then he understands that it's close to Passover. So they're getting ready to celebrate Passover. While they're celebrating Passover, that takes us back to Exodus, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God told Moses, tell the people, take an unblemished, unspotted lamb, slaughter it. Take the blood, put it over the doorpost. And when the death angel come by, it will pass over your household. And your firstborn will still be alive. So here in the text, these people get ready to celebrate the Passover and watch Jesus. Jesus lift up his eyes in verse 5. He sees a large crowd coming to him. And he says to Philip, where are we to buy bread so these may eat? Why ask Philip? Out of every disciple, why are you asking Philip? But could it be because Philip was from Bethesda? And Bethesda was the community right near where they were. And Jesus was asking him simply to test him, because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. I said this last time, it's test taking time. And there are times in our life that God will give us the test, and he's already has the answers to the test. And many times the answers are already in the Bible. That if we slow down long enough to get in the Bible, we have the answer key to the test. But we're too busy, we're moving too fast. But if you understand how to get into the Bible, you will understand how to pass the test. And many times God has to give us the same test over and over and over to get us to understand, to trust him. So he asked Philip, Philip, where are we to buy bread for the people? And Jesus is testing Philip for his growth, for his faith, and for his development. So Marcus, put that slide up. Jesus is testing Philip for his growth, for his faith, and for his development. But Philip makes the mistake that we make far too often. Philip saw his deficiencies. And far too often, when we're taking the test, we see our deficiencies. God is not asking you to see where you're deficient. He already knows where you are deficient. What he's asking you to do is trust him. And Philip is not trusting him. Philip, why can't you trust him? Because in John chapter 2, you saw him take water and turn it to wine. Trust him. In John chapter 4, Philip, you've seen him speak a word. And the nobleman's son was healed at a distance. Trust him. In John chapter 5, you've seen him heal again. Trust him. And time after time, God is performing miracles in our life every single day, Jessica, but we fail to trust him. Why? Because we're human. Because we're fragile. And because we miss it. But when God is testing you, he is testing you to develop your growth, your faith, and to develop you in the overall Christian faith. God, here's my deficiencies. I don't have enough money. He already knows. God, this has never been done. He already knows. God, I'm not good enough. Well, he already knows that. God, I'm not smart enough. God, I don't have enough resources. God, I have bad credit. God, I have bankruptcy. I know people that had bad credit and still got a house. Why? Because God can take your bad credit, massage it, move on the heart of the person, and still give you a house. God knows your deficiencies, but he's asking you, when his test taking time, will you trust me? So I want to declare today that I will trust the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make the boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. What I'm telling you is praise God when his test taking time, because he already knows your deficiencies, and don't become an expert at seeing your deficiencies. Don't become an expert. And we are experts at seeing where we are deficient. God is not asking you to see where you're deficient. He's asking you to trust him. So here's Philip. Philip becomes an accountant. He takes out his imaginary calculator. So let me see. God, in verse 7, 200 denarii. And we need 200 denarii worth of bread, and that is still not sufficient for everyone to have a little. He takes out his calculator, Kiki, and he's figuring it up. And he's become an accountant. And he realizes, wait a minute, we have 8 month wages, and that's still not enough to feed over 20,000. Where can we find bread? So he sees through the calculator of the cash register that he doesn't have enough money. But then he moves to the logistics. If we get bread, what store will we find bread? How can we feed 5,000? How many ovens do we need? How many bakers do we need? How much flour do we need? Can you see yourself as Philip? You're always asking God the question when God is saying, just trust me. So Philip is so busy counting deficiencies that he forgot to count the asset. God is your asset. Start counting your asset and quit looking at what you don't have and look at what you do have, because all you need is Jesus. And when you got Jesus, you have all you need. So Friday, I spoke at Rice University. Oh, yeah, I'm big time. I was at Rice. And I was with all the intellectual people. And I spoke on what we believe is going to be a series on racial reconciliation. On a Friday night, your cousin did a magnificent job, Avery. He hosted this, and we had well over 100 college students attend, because they want to move the needle down the field. Of the ball down the field. They want to move the needle. And they said, listen, we want to make sure we understand what it means to be racially diverse. So I go in and speak. But here's what I want to show you about the deficiencies. You know how I got the Rice? 5 years ago, I was on a mission trip with Avery. Avery and I got close. So I mentored him 1 or 2 years. I knew his family, and that was it. Well, Avery wanted to do this event. He went to the church website and he saw the video series that's on the church website on racial reconciliation. How did the video get there? Last year, my supervisor came to me and said, hey, I want to send you to Utah. I'm going to pay for the trip. I want you to create this video series. I'll take care of everything. I flew to Utah. We create the video series in 2 hours. I flew back. My supervisor paid for everything. He made sure the videos was right. We put it on the church website. Avery went to the website out of nowhere to see a video. So I leave Rice asking myself, God, I am not smart enough to be with all these intellectuals. My grammar's awful at times. I don't look right. I don't always sound right. But God says, listen, I knew that when I called you. I already knew your deficiencies, but I already went ahead of you to make a way out of no way. What I'm trying to tell you, Jessica, don't look at your deficiencies. You look at your God. And when you understand that your God is strong and mighty, whatever he has for you, the devil in hell can't take it from you. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. The devil in hell can't take what belongs to you. 30% of the people that was Asians. Then we had Latinos, Hispanics, Blacks, Whites. And I'm thinking, how did I get there? 20 years ago, I'll never forget this. God gave me a dream. And some people don't believe in God speaking through dreams. I do. God will give you a vision, and God will speak through dreams. And I'll never forget this, Coach. In this dream, I saw myself on a building, on beams, and the building was not fully constructed. And I told my wife, I was pulling up people from every nationality. Every nationality. And I woke up and I said, God, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to write it down. 20 years fast forward, the same dream that he gave me is the same dream that he's fulfilling. What I'm telling you is God is big enough to take care of you. He just wants you to know that when it's test taking time, will you trust me? So stop playing God and let God be God and focus on your assets, because he is all that you need. So I dealt with Philip. Watch this. Here's Andrew. Andrew shows up in verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 2 fish, 5 loaves. But what are they among so many? He makes the same thing, mistake. He is looking at what they have and what they don't have, but he failed to look at Jesus. So here's what Jesus says. Have the people sit down. And I used this illustration last time. We get it mixed up that when we look at the loaves, we think it was rainbow bread. No, it was barley loaves. And barley was used to feed animals. It was for poor people. They were in the poor part of town. And Christ took what was used for poor people to perform a miracle. Don't tell me that God ain't big. That he can take nobody and make that nobody somebody. That he can take what you don't have and blow on it just a little bit, and he'll maximize what you don't have and make it more than enough. So Jesus says, make them sit down. And they were obedient. If you're not obedient to the command of the Lord, you will miss your blessings, because blessings are tied to obedience. And every now and then, God will give you favor to show you, if you are disobedient, I'll still bless you. But if you are obedient, just think what I can do in your life. So they take the barley loaves. And here we go. Take that, Mr. Disciple. And would you stand up for me? Take that, Mr. Disciple. And would you stand up for me? Ms. Rios, you're a disciple this morning. Take that for me. And stand up for me. Ms. Barbara, you're a disciple this morning. Take that for me. And stand up. The text did say 5, right? Take this. Ms. J, and you're a disciple. Stand up for me. And Jesus takes what's for poor people and for animals, and he gives thanks. So can you be a disciple and just hold the bread up and just thank God for your bread? Here's what I mean. Your bread is a symbolism of what you don't have, but God is placing something in your hand, and he's going to bless what's in your hand to show you that you have more than enough, not to look at your deficiency, but to look what he's already given you. So Jesus takes the bread. It's not even in my nose. It's fresh off the press. He takes the bread. He gives thanks, and he starts breaking it. Can you break it and just give it to somebody? Can you just break it and give it to somebody? Can you break it and just give it to somebody? See your bread this morning. See your fragment. See your piece. He breaks it and he gives it to them. But he also has 2 fish. And the fish are a size of the sardines. It's not what you think it is. It's a sardine. So he takes 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, and everybody takes a piece. Don't you eat that piece this morning like that little kid did 2 weeks ago. Take your piece of bread, because I want you to remember that every time that's a deficiency, you got bread. Why? Because you serve the master baker, and he has enough bread to solve all of your needs, whether it's physical or it's spiritual. That's your bread. So he takes 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, and he blesses it, and he feeds a multitude. That's your bread this morning. And what you have to understand is what Crawford Kimball says this. Look at your bread. That God specializes in giving great blessings that's produced by broken bread. Great blessings. You may be seated by broken bread. Don't get mad with God when he breaks you. Because sometimes he has to break you to bless you. And when he breaks you, his plan is to maximize his blessing in your life. So God, thank you for breaking me. I'm not upset that you broke my pride. I'm not upset that you broke my ego. I'm not upset that you broke my arrogance. I'm not upset that you broke my lion spirit. I'm not upset. Break me, God, because if you break me long enough, I know the blessing is on the way. So Brother Lorenzo, come here. And bring that bucket. If you're hungry, eat it. He's our disciple. Break your bread some more. And break it some more. And Brother Lorenzo, I don't want anything left. They had 12 buckets full. Can you use your bucket to pick up all the bread? Keep your bread, but whatever you have that remains, put it in the bucket. Put it in the bucket. I'm going somewhere with this. Put it in the bucket. The reason why I want you to put it in the bucket is that God is challenging us. Don't you waste my blessing. That when I bless you, don't you waste it. I got buckets, and the buckets will feed more people. I don't want you to waste the blessing that I'm giving you. So I'm going to ask the disciples to pick up every blessing after I broke it, because I don't want you to waste it. Here's what I mean. We waste food. We waste our talent. We waste our ability. We waste our mind. We waste friendships. God is saying, I'm giving you all of this, and I want you to take it to the back and hold it, because I'm pretty sure there's more people to feed. And what God is telling you this morning is that after he breaks you, to bless you, you take the blessing and you make sure that you maximize the blessing to be a blessing to other people. Don't you waste the blessing and the miracle that God is performing in your life. So don't become an expert at seeing where you're lacking. Become an expert on your God. And here's where I close. Watch this. Verse 14. Therefore, when the people saw the signs which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. That goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Moses prophesied that God would raise up a great prophet who would speak God's word, and he must be obeyed. So John is referencing back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And the prophet has showed up. And here's where I want to close. The prophet is not just in the Bible. The prophet is in your life. And every time the prophet shows up, the prophet is going to show up with a blessing. And every now and then he has to break you to bless you. But don't you waste it, because the prophet, he wants to use you to do great things for the kingdom. Because if he uses you and you do great things for the kingdom, it glorifies him. Because it's not about you. And far too often we get it twisted. We think it's about us. It's never been about you. It's always been about him. And all he wants to do is this. He wants to take bread, and he wants to bless you with it. So this morning, as I close, what bread do you have that you've just literally thrown away? And you scoffed at it. You looked at it like it was nothing. And God is saying, I gave you that bread. And that bread is your blessing. ride the blessing. So can I say this morning? Every day, find your bread. And don't waste it. And whatever bread it is, God is going to bless that bread to show you that he's always been with you, that he has never left you, and he's never forsaken. Why? Because he died. When he died.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.